were, but we're going to pick up our study where we left off of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Before we begin, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you that you've given us this, another opportunity to meet together, to have your word open to us, to read it, to study it, to have your word expounded to us, and to have Christ preached to us from your word. Father, we're thankful. And Father, I pray as we preach the gospel, hear the gospel preached this morning, that you would move in power and cause the seed of your word to take root in our heart, to give life, to produce abundantly, to produce an abundant harvest of life and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Without thee, we can do nothing. We can't preach, we can't hear, we can't worship. Father, I pray that you would enable us this morning to hear and to believe and to worship. Worship you as you ought to be worshiped. Well, we pray for ourselves in this class. We pray for our children's classes that you'd bless richly, Father. We thank you for so many blessings of this life. Pray you'd give us the wisdom to use all these things wisely and for thy glory, not selfishly. Father, for those who are sick and in great times of burden, trial, and difficulty, Father, we pray for them. We're thankful to know that these things are not accidental, but they're according to thy divine will and purpose. And Father, we pray you give those who are sick and hurting, those who are in great difficulty, that you give them a fulfillment of your promise, that you'll never leave nor forsake your people, and that you'll give them grace sufficient. And Father, if it could be thy will, that you'd deliver quickly, that you'd heal, that you'd remove the heartache and the difficulty and the pain, and relieve your people, Father, we pray. All these things we ask in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 13. I titled the message or the lesson this morning, The Word Planted in the Heart. Now it begins, verse 1, Matthew chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now here a parable. A parable, you know what that is. It's an earthly story, something that happens on earth frequently, something everybody is familiar with. But the story illustrates a spiritual truth that we must be taught. And let me give you this warning about parables. Now, don't make all your doctrine out of a single parable. A parable is just a story. And it illustrates a point, a single point of doctrine. Each parable only teaches one truth. Now, don't stretch a parable too far and try to make it teach many things. Because a parable only teaches one truth, teaches one thing. And the truth being taught in this parable is the necessity, the absolute necessity of hearing the Word of God with a heart that's been prepared by God the Holy Spirit. And I thought, what a good lesson as we are able to begin. We've had our children's Bible classes for a while, but to begin our adult Bible classes with this parable, the importance of the Word of God, the importance of hearing it, the importance of believing it. And I'm thankful the Lord's given us a second opportunity today to hear His Word preached. You just can't overemphasize the importance of God's Word. Now, in this parable, the sower is the preacher. He sows the seed of the Word of God by preaching the Word of God. And the preacher, the teacher of this parable, is the preacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shows us how tireless that he was in preaching the word and teaching the word. Verse 1 says, that same day went Jesus out of the house. He just finished teaching them, the people, about the family of God. Who is the family of God? What does the family of God look like? And that same day, with no break, he went out preaching again. He's just tireless in preaching. And he also shows us faithfulness in preaching. You know, the Lord was always preaching and teaching. He would stay up all night praying and spend all day preaching and teaching. And he was always preaching. He was always teaching the very same message. In this parable, the seed is the word of God. That's what Luke tells us in his account of this parable, Luke 8, that the seed is the word of God. And that's the only way any sinner can ever be given life, is from the seed of life, the word of God. That's the way God has ordained it. And our Lord was always preaching, always sowing the same seed. Never different kinds of seed, always the same seed, the word of God. That was the only seed ever sowed. Every message he preached was sowing the same seed. Now, I'll tell you what, if you can find a man who's faithful to do the same thing today, to preach the word of God, to only sow the seed of the word of God, you do well to listen to him. Because he's got a message for you. He's got a message for your heart from the word of God. But now every time that the word is truly sown in the heart, you're going to find a couple things. Number one, you're going to find a preacher sowing, preaching, teaching the word of God. And when the word is truly sown in the heart, the Lord is the one doing the sowing. Now, we preach here every week. Sow the seed. Week after week after week. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. But when God saves a sinner, it's the Lord who sows the seed in the heart. You know, we plant and we water all day long, don't we? But only the Lord can give an increase. Only the Lord can give life. And that's an important lesson for us to learn here. How dependent we are on God. We're dependent on his word and we're dependent on him to give us faith to believe it. We won't have ears to hear it unless he gives it. Now, every time the word is preached, every time the seed is sown, there's a whole variety of people there listening. And the effect of the seed on the different people is different. The different effects upon the hearer are always dependent on the Lord. So let's look here. You already know this parable well. There's several different kinds of hearers. The first one is the wayside hearer. Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And the explanation of what the Lord is teaching there of the parable is in verse 18. The Lord says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Now, wayside hearers, they physically hear the word preached. They physically hear the gospel preached, but it's not important to them. The wayside hearer hears the word preached just like you'd hear a lecture on any other, you know, subject. It would have to be a subject that's just, they're just not interested in. They're just not, it's beyond their ability to comprehend. They just don't get it. They don't love it. They don't understand it. They're the wayside hearer. I thought about myself when I was in college. I went to a physics lecture. Gigantic. I mean, there had to be 500 people in there. And listen to that lecture, that physics lecture. And I was a wayside hearer. I mean, I just never got it. I mean, I just didn't. I thought from high school, I love the subject. I thought I'm good at this. And I started hearing real physics, and I thought, I just don't get it. And because I couldn't get it, I just was not interested in it. I just could never be anything other than, at best, an average student, because I just didn't get it. I didn't love it. It was not interesting to me. That's the wayside hearer. They hear the gospel preached, and it's just beyond their ability to comprehend it, to love it, to understand it. Because God hadn't given them an ear to hear it. And the birds in the parable represent Satan, the prince of the power of the air. And Satan comes, the seed's been sowed by a person's heart. But Satan comes and takes the seed away before it has time to take root in the heart. Before the person has time to even think about what they've heard and maybe comprehended, Satan comes and takes that seed away You know, they don't understand it. They don't comprehend it. But before they can even think to ask any questions about what they do not understand, Satan comes and takes the seed away. Satan distracts the wayside hearer with the trinkets of the world, the ideas, the ways, the things that you can get in this world. You know, they think, who's playing in a ball game today? Or wonder where we're going to go eat. Wonder what's in the crock pot at home for us to eat. They think about their job, what it is I got to do tomorrow. I got all these things I got, get done in my job. And you know what? All those things are much more interesting to the natural man than the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And that's what they think about. They're so easily distracted by that. The wayside hearer hears the word preached, but when they leave, they're completely unaffected and they're unchanged. That's a very sobering thought. Satan snatches the word away, leaves the person completely unaffected from the hearing of the gospel before they even know it's happened. They don't even know. They don't even know Satan's come and plucked the seed away. The unspeakable gift, the message of the unspeakable gift has been snatched away from them and they never even knew it. That's the wayside here. Because the seed fell by the wayside. Beside them, not in them, but beside. And the Lord allows this to happen because he's just at this time not chosen to be merciful to this wayside here. At least not yet he hasn't. Salvation is the choice of God alone. God chooses the people that he will save, and he chooses the time that he's going to reveal himself to them and save them too. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord allowed Satan to snatch this seed away from the wayside here. That's true. But this is also true. Man's responsible too. You're responsible for what you've heard. The wayside hearer is just not interested. He's responsible for not giving diligence to what he's heard. He's responsible for not thinking on these things. He's responsible for not seeking Christ. By nature, he can't do it, but yet he's responsible for not doing it. Because here, the seed fell by the way. Hearing the gospel is just not their way. Christ is not their way. It's not the way that they're interested in. They're just by the wayside. They're just passing by the service on the fringe and just really not paying attention. That was me in physics class. I mean, I sat in the back. I was just getting out of there as fast as I could, just a wayside ear, passing by, passing through. Maybe they've only come to hear because they're having trouble in their life. Maybe they're only coming because somebody's making them come. They're a child and they have to come. Maybe they're coming because they're dating a pretty girl. There's a pretty girl there they got their eye on, But they're not seeking Christ. That's the issue. They're there for a whole variety of reasons, except for the reason. They're not seeking Christ. The wayside here is just not paying attention. They're not seeking Christ because they don't see their need of him. That's why. And my constant prayer is this: the Lord will make us all hear the gospel, every one of us, as a needy sinner. From the oldest to the youngest, from the oldest believer to the youngest unbeliever, I pray the Lord will make every one of us hear the gospel as a needy sinner. Because I can promise you this, if the Lord ever makes us a needy sinner, we will listen to the gospel of Christ with rapt attention. Because when we're needy, we know he's all I need. And you're going to preach him to me? I'm paying attention. I won't be a wayside here if God will ever give me a need for Christ. If you're going to preach to me the remedy for my need, I'm going to not be a wayside here. But I'll listen with rapt attention. All right, that's the wayside here. And a second is the stony ground here, verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root and they withered away. And the explanation for this is in verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now the stony ground here, we've all seen a stony ground here. They appear to be very, very impressive at first. They appear to have a lot of growth very quickly. They have a lot of excitement about what they're hearing. They hear the word preached, they hear the gospel preached, they hear Christ preached. They've never heard it like that before. They're so excited. The stony ground here hears, and they appear to have some very quick growth for a while. But that interest and that excitement is not in Christ. Maybe they have a lot of interest, and this is a new doctrine that they're hearing. But the interest is not in Christ. Maybe they have a lot of enjoyment in hearing a gifted preacher of the gospel. People like to hear a gifted preacher. But their interest and excitement is not in Christ, who is the message that we preach. There's a lot of excitement in learning some new things. But the excitement's not in learning Christ. Brother Fortner said in his commentary on this, he said about the stony ground here, the message brings forth a plentiful crop of warm feelings and good resolutions. That's the stony ground here. It appears that they have some very quick growth, but there's no depth. There's no depth to their religion because they were never rooted and grounded upon Christ. They don't have Christ, the root, in them. See, the seed fell on the stony ground. It didn't go in. It fell on. It fell upon. But, you know, they seem to enjoy the service and enjoy being there. You know, let me warn you about this. Enjoying hearing a gifted preacher and enjoying being around the people of God who are nice and kind people, that's not grace in the heart. Now, I want you to enjoy my preaching. I really do. I want you to think that's a message I can understand. That's a message I can believe. I see Christ. I want you to enjoy my preaching. And I want you to enjoy being with each other. But I want you and me both to be impressed with Christ. Now there's a difference, isn't there? I want you and me both to be impressed with Christ so that we believe Him, so that we trust Him, so that we love Him. I want us to enjoy being around each other, but mostly I want us to enjoy being around each other because we're brethren who are in love with the same Savior, who are trusting the same Savior, who all have the same hope, who are serving the same Lord. See, Christ must always be the issue. He has to always be the issue. He has to be the issue in our preaching. He has to be the issue in our faith. He has to be the issue in our worship. And Christ must be the bond that holds us all together. Otherwise, it's going to fall apart. It's going to be like a weed that grows up quick, you know, in the crack of the sidewalk. But, you know, let it be about 95 degrees a couple of days in a row, that thing's going to die. See, but that's not the case. This being rooted in Christ and having Christ be the issue, that's not the case with the stony ground here. And before long, trouble's going to arise. Our Lord says it's persecution because of the Word. Now, that persecution could be from other people. People outside the church, outside the faith, out there in the world. They don't understand what you believe. They don't understand what you preach. They don't understand why you love it. How can you love being told every week that you're a sinner and you got no hope but Christ? They don't understand. How can you love that? I tell you where else that persecution come from. It come from that old man that we care. That old man of the flesh who loves righteousness that he can earn by the law. He loves things that he can do that makes him better than his neighbor, you know. And that old man is going to persecute that new man as long as they both live in the same body. And because of the heat of that persecution, that heat's going to burn up the stony ground here. Because he has no depth. He has no root down deep in Christ. Now that heat comes, a little bit of drought comes, that oak tree is about 100 feet tall, that oak tree is going to stand. Because it's got roots down in the ground, about as deep as when it grows up tall, you know. Those roots down deep, that's going to keep that tree grounded and settled right where it's at. But not the stony ground here, because it doesn't have any root down deep in Christ. The stony ground here has no connection to Christ. He's got an interest in doctrine. He's got some emotion about this thing, but he doesn't have any interest in Christ. And you know, every last one of us will be a stony ground here if God doesn't stop it and give us faith and ground us in Christ. We're completely dependent on the Lord, aren't we? To hear and to believe. I want us to be excited about the gospel. I want us to be committed to this work. but because we love Christ, because we love Him. All right, third is the thorny ground hearer, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. And the explanation for the thorny ground here is at verse 22. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now the thorny ground here, he hears the word, and there might seem to be a little bit of depth to their faith. But eventually the thorns come and choke off that thorny ground here. It's like the thorns and the weeds come and take away the nutrients out of the ground from the plant, and it dies. The thorny ground here hears the word, and it seems to believe it, at least believe the truth of it. You know, it says it's got to be the truth. But the deceitfulness of riches, the Lord says, takes his attention away. Just like thorns and weeds take the nutrients away from the good plant, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, a few years ago, you know, we had some tomato plants, and my back was hurting, and I just thought, I'm just going to let those things grow. I wonder how they grow out in the wild, you know, if they just, you know, nobody weeds anything around. Stuff grows in the wild, maybe these plants will grow. And I'm telling you, now the tomato plant, grew pretty good size. Did not produce a single tomato. Not one. And one day my back got feeling a little better, and I thought, I'm going to go out there and get them weeds out of there. I mean, Jan wanted me to just tear the whole thing out, you know. I thought, I'm going to at least get the weeds out and see what happens. I'm going to get those weeds out of there. And I kid you not, about 3 days, that thing's full of tomatoes. And they came out, and then they ripened, and they're... You know what was stopping them all summer from giving us good tomatoes to eat? The weeds. Choking that plant off and making it unfruitful. Not able to bear the fruit. And for the thorny ground here are the thorns. It could be when the Lord says the deceitfulness of riches. Maybe it's worldly riches. You know, people think if I just, do good in my job and commit myself to my job, spend so many hours at my job, or maybe get two or three jobs, whatever, just so that I can build up a big bank account because I think there's some security and have a lot of money. Maybe the deceitfulness of riches takes their attention off of Christ. Takes their attention away from, and their time away from coming to the service. And when they do come, they're thinking about their job. What do I got to get done? What do I got to do? I got to, you know, get a bigger 401k. Wonder how my investments are doing. I got to go do this job. Go do this job. It's the deceitfulness of riches takes their attention off Christ and chokes them, makes them unfruitful. But I'll tell you what primarily these thorns are. It's the curse of sin that's in the world. Yeah, that's when thorns started growing, wasn't it? Adam sinned, and God cursed the ground for Adam's sake. He said, thorns and thistles it's going to bring forth to you. And the thorns and thistles grow up the sin that's in us. Grow up and choke off the word. Our desire for the flesh to have our own work. Just like Adam, we have the same nature. Yeah, Adam's problem was he wanted to be God. I mean, he knew this was sin, but he wanted to be God. Adam wanted to make the rules. Adam wanted to be his own God and say what's sin and what's righteousness. And the desire of our flesh have the same thing. To have our own works. At least I want to have some of my own works to contribute to my salvation. I want to have some of my own works to make me stand out from these other, you know, heathen or these other weaker brethren. I want my own works. I want some credit for this thing. You know, I want to make the rules. I want to decide which laws I got to keep and which laws I don't. And if I don't like the laws that's found in God's Word, I'll make up my own. I think you've got to do them things, you know. That is the desire of our flesh, to have some of our own righteousness. That's the thorns of sin. That's the thorns that grow from the cursed ground. And that's what grows from our cursed flesh. It's the curse of sin that comes and chokes us and makes us unfruitful. And fallen man loves those things. It's the deceitfulness of riches, the deceitfulness of your own works. The fallen man thinks there's got to be some value. There's got to be something to my own good works that make this thing of salvation better. And you know what God calls them things? Filthy rags. That's what God calls them. Fallen man thinks there's got to be some security in my own good works, because somehow that's got to make me a little more righteous. It's got to make me a little more savable. It's got to make me a little more accepted. And you know what God calls that? A false refuge. A refuge of lies. Deceitfulness. It's good. Be all swept away. And it's a very solemn warning to us now. The thorny ground hearer hears something, but they're made unfruitful by wanting their own works, by wanting some of their own credit for this thing. All right, here's the fourth hearer. This is the hearer I'm very, very interested in, the good ground hearer. Verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the explanation for the good ground hearer is verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now the good ground hearer heard the word preached, heard the gospel preached, heard Christ preached, and believed on him. They believed Christ. And they believed him because the seed fell into good ground. And it took root in that good ground, and it grew, and it brought forth a harvest. Some bigger than others, some 100-fold, some 60, some only 30, but it was all the same harvest. It was all a good harvest brought forth by the word of God. Now the good ground here, what is the difference between the good ground here, the wayside here, the stony ground here, and the thorny ground here? What's the difference? Well, the good ground here is God's elect. God chose them before he created anything. And now the time has come. God's time of love. This is your time of love, God said. His time has come for them to hear the gospel and to believe it. The seed fell into good ground, into a heart that was made good by God the Holy Spirit. Heart that was made good and prepared by God the Holy Spirit. The seed was planted, and the Holy Spirit came at God's appointed time and gave life. And that seed took root, and it grew, and it brought forth fruit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that makes a person believe Christ when they hear the word preached. One hears the gospel, leaves unaffected. Another hears the gospel, and they're brokenhearted, and they see Christ. They find their comfort and their rest and their assurance in Christ. They're never the same again. What's the difference? God the Spirit gave life. God the Spirit gave the increase. Our Lord says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. How did this one hear? The Spirit gave them ears to hear and a heart that believes. And it's the Spirit that makes that harvest grow. It's the Spirit that enables that believer to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit as God enables him. And if the Holy Spirit does not give us ears to hear, and so that we understand, so that we believe, spiritually understand and believe and perceive it, we never will love Christ. We never will believe him. We never will trust him. Look at verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. When God the Holy Spirit gives us ears to hear, we'll understand, we'll perceive, this is the message of Christ, and we'll love him and believe him and trust him. But we never will unless God gives us ears to hear. See, that leaves us totally dependent on God, doesn't it? Totally dependent on his word, totally dependent on him to give us a heart to believe it. And the difference in all these hearers is God who makes the difference. You know, these other hearers, God just leaves them to themselves. The wayside hearer, the stony ground here, the thorny ground here. God just leaves them to themselves, just leaves them to their own nature. But the good ground here, God doesn't leave them alone. No, He gives them a heart to believe, ears to hear, enables them to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. You know, wherever there's grace in the heart, there will always be the fruit of grace, the fruit of the Spirit in a life. Some may be 30-fold, some may be 100-fold, but it's the same fruit. It's the same fruit. God enables us to bear it. But God is the one who makes the difference, isn't He? And all these four different hearers, they're the same word. They're the same preacher sowing the word. They all heard the same message of Christ, and they all have the same sinful flesh. They all have the same sinful nature. Well, God is the one who made the difference in all four of those hearers. God is the one. The results always depend upon the Lord. And it is my earnest, earnest prayer, as long as God enables us to be in this place, that we will make much of God's word. The only way God's children will be fed is this word. The only way sinners will be given life is by the preaching of this word. May God enable us to make much of the word of God. And may God make us faithful in preaching it, tireless in preaching it over and over and over again. And may God make us tireless, faithful in listening to it over and over and over again. I say, oh, I've heard that before. But make us tireless, faithful in hearing the same message over and over and over. And then I pray the Lord will give the increase for our good and for His glory. The importance of the Word of God. All right. Lord bless you.